Welcome to the BCMA podcast. I'm your host, Lorenda Kelbert, and today I'm joined by Stephen Perwall. Stephen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lorenda, for having me.
I just want to make sure, did I get your name right?
Perwall.
Perwall, thank you. I want to make sure that I'm getting people's names right, so I appreciate you taking the time to clarify that for me. So Stephen, I'm so excited that you're here with us today. I thought maybe we could start off with you just introducing yourself and sharing a bit about the work that you do.
Sure. My name's Stephen Perwall. I'm a community historian, which is really a history buff. I've founded Indus Media Foundation, which is a nonprofit that speaks to the history the Punjabi Canadian community shares with mainstream Canada. So as a history buff, I've translated a lot of knowledge into a set of resources through this nonprofit to help educate Canadians about a community whose history is unknown in many respects. It's focused on specific historical events, the Kermagata Maru, for example, but the wider context of those events have gone unreported, in Canada. And I think it's something that, as a history buff, being aware of our community's history, it's important to share with Canadians going forward.
Absolutely, I completely agree. Knowing where you're coming from and knowing the richness of the history of the place that you're living just provides so much more context to the place you're currently in and where you're going. So I absolutely agree on that. Why do you think this history is, for the most part, lesser known or unknown?
Well, the focus has been on specific events and the Kermagata Maru, for example. And I think what happens is that educators in general feel that that is the defining moment in history. So the resources, the attention is on specific events. The wider story, which is more nuanced, hasn't really been brought up in curriculums across the country. So you could be a history major from UBC and still not be aware of the military contributions of the Punjabi community to our history. So I think that it really comes down to ignorance at the end of the day, a lack of education, and there is a specific focus on particular events, and the net isn't being cast wide enough to provide appropriate context.
Absolutely. As someone who is a history graduate from UBC, I can completely agree that wasn't something that was included in my history classes or touched on. I came out with a very narrow focus on women's experience in the Holocaust. And that was basically like my whole undergrad degree. Just for our listeners who are joining us, do you want to elaborate a little bit on that military history since we have you here?
Yeah, the military history is the focal point of my work through Indus Media Foundation. What inspired me to tackle that subject, a subject that, as you've mentioned, has been omitted from a lot of curriculums, is that in 2014, we had the centennial for the First World War commenced. So the period of 2014 to 2018 was a period in which many Canadians were going to commemorate, celebrate the nation building saga of the country. We've been raised to believe Canada came together as a nation on the Western Front. As a new immigrant, as a new Canadian citizen, I was born and raised in the UK. When I took my citizenship test, it was a part of the history that I had to learn about the country. I mean, we swear allegiance to the Queen, to the Crown, and we also learn about Canada's military history. But in the general public, in the school system, that history is actually missing. So when the centennial came about, I thought it was important at that point then to establish that missing history. And it was a case of going back and consolidating the Commonwealth war grave records about who, you know, who served where in which theater, and then complementing that through research that I had already started many, many years ago, you know, through my interest in history, through a collection of primary sources that I'd gathered. So given I had some resources and that the centennial had basically come about, I thought it was important then to establish this history for educators. I mean, I was working with schools, created presentations and so forth. But it really was the centennial of the First World War that provided this focus about establishing and commemorating the military contributions of the Punjabi community, who had made their home in Canada, during the turn of the 20th century. So it was, they'd already been in Canada for about 20 years or so, and they served in the First World War. And I thought it was an important piece of shared Canadian history.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to think back myself from being not in university, but in high school, when we were learning about Canada's military history. The thing that comes to mind the most is that we spent so much time on World War II, and that I remember spending so much time on names and places of battles and where things were happening, and so little time on the people, on who was involved and where they were coming from, and that sort of lived aspect. So this is...
And the reason why they're fighting.
Absolutely. And I think when people think about, you know, the military, when they draw to mind this image, they're going to think of, who was it? Someone did a digital recolorization of World War I fighters, I think it was. I think Tom Hanks was involved in it. It had some kind of name for the movie that, like, they never returned, or they never came home, or something like that.
It was the director from Lord of the Rings.
I'm happy that we both know what I'm talking about. We just can't call. I'll have to include that.
It was 2014. It came out in 2014.
Mm-hmm. And I had this image of the trailer when they were promoting that movie, and it was just like four white guys that are digitally recolored in their war uniforms. And I feel like the whole trailer was just talking about like white military men.
Well, that's every remembrance ceremony in every school in Canada.
Yes. Yes. You get the poppies, you get Flanders Field. You maybe have a wreath laying ceremony, and that's it. But it's such a white approach and white lens and light white experience. There's rarely any discussion about the diversity of people fighting, unless you start talking about, like you said, the UK, that you saw diversity in British soldiers. And when you talk about World War II American fighters, they talk about code breakers, but that's it. That's all you get, at least from my recollection. And I, you know, to be clear, that was I was in high school more than 10 years ago. So I hope things
have changed. Very much the case still. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a father of three children that have gone through or are going through the public education system in Surrey. And my experience, I mean, all my children were born and raised in Canada. Mm-hmm. I've been privy to what they learn, and it's very much still the case. Mm-hmm. There isn't this inclusive narration of these, you know, these important moments in our nation's history, pivotal points in world history. And it was important for me then to, you know, just for my children, to be able to tell them the, you know, the complete story. What I mean by that is that to fill out those, you know, those gaps. And what it really starts from understanding that, developing an understanding around who was Canadian, what it meant to be Canadian during these wars. And the most important, significant fact that I think most Canadians don't appreciate, nowadays, is that up until 1947, everyone was British. There was no such thing as a Canadian citizen until 1947, when the first Canadian passports were issued. And I believe it was in 1946 the law was enacted. So during World War I and during World War II, it was every Canadian was British, and and so were Indo-Canadians. So were the people from South Asia. So an important consideration then is if the people from South Asia, India, I mean, there was no such country as India, so, there you have it. India didn't exist until 1947. So, during World War I, during World War II, you have communities that are British fighting under one crown, one flag, fighting for a common cause. And they're divided by geographies, but they are essentially British. And you have to remember, as someone that's was born and raised in the UK, I understand, when we refer to Great Britain, it doesn't mean great as not in magnificent. It's actually Greater Britain, and Canada and India were a part of the Greater Britain, and that's why they fought together as brothers in arms. And and they fought as citizens of one empire, so they shared a citizenship, and I think that nuance is missed, but it should not be, because every town in Canada, every city, has roads, boulevards, named after personalities in of British heritage, schools, institutions, you name it. The signs of British heritage are everywhere. Up until 1982, Canada hadn't even achieved full independence. So there's a huge swath of Canadian history which is British. And, Indo-Canadians were British.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this, what you've just shared now, I can already imagine as an educator exactly how I would have framed that if I was teaching on that. You gotta talk about where we are. If you're going to, if you're going to do a class on World War I, instead of just starting with this is how World War One started, and we'll talk about Franz Ferdinand, and here we go, this is the beginning. But to start talking about what the world currently looks like in the years leading up to the war, the fact that Canada isn't Canada as we know it today, but if we're going to be talking about Canadian troops, because I remember being like, oh, well, Canadian troops, they were the ones who arrived here and the Canadian troops did this. But you can't, you're labeling it as Canadian troops now under, I was in school I graduated in 2008. So Canadian troops, as we understand it, in 2008. But you could just start with this is where we're coming from. This is what the world looks like. These are the players and how they're going to be fighting alongside. And like you said, what it means to be a citizen and who is a citizen. And absolutely amazing. I think I'm going to be thinking about this all day.
And to your point, Miranda, the British Expeditionary Force, when the Canadians joined the British Expeditionary Force, it was in March 1915. The first battle the Canadians fought in the First World War was at Ypres in April 1915. It was called the Second Battle of Ypres, and this is the battle in which John McCrae writes the famous poem. Now, the wider context of that is that the Punjabi soldiers British forces had been in Flanders Fields already fighting for 5 months, holding that ground. So when we start to open up this history and look at the wider context of who was where and who did what for whom, and why they did it, the Punjabis reinforced the Canadian line during the gassing at Kitchener's Wood. And it was a pivotal moment in Canadian history, because you could argue that if Canada had lost that battle, we wouldn't have had Vimy. So there were British soldiers fighting side by side in a region in France and Belgium. And these soldiers were fighting as Britons, as British subjects and citizens. And it's a history that, when we retell it in Canada, focuses on the poem, but amidst the, you know, the diversity of the forces that were there. And what's egregious to me as a parent of Canadian born children is that, you know, we could be telling that story from the perspective of a more inclusive perspective to help establish a better sense of belonging to, you know, to our youth. And so, you know, it's an important history. It lends to people's belonging to this country. It builds a better country. It builds a more united country, but we don't do it. Now, I put it down to ignorance, but, you know, if we now pursue more inclusive narratives through our education system, and we fail to do this, then there's more, you know, behind this than just ignorance. And, you know, this is something that, you know, through Indus Media Foundation, I try and address by working with educators, be it in schools or museums, is the importance of establishing this as a context for, you know, marginalized communities.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, all of this rich details and history that you're giving me and sharing with me, and that your work highlights and shares, and it just gets distilled to a poem that I've heard for every year through elementary school at every Remembrance Day assembly, when it could be such a bigger, wider, richer discussion and lesson. So I think that transitions me into my next question. If people wanted to learn more, where can they go to get resources or information? And what kind of information are you putting out there that people can use to enrich their lesson plans, to enrich their own knowledge?
So, you know, commencing with 2014, with the World War I centennial, the first thing we produced was a portable World War I exhibit. We actually worked with Simon Fraser University to produce that. I was the curator for it. We also worked with Royal BC Museum to expand some of the diverse content on its World War I traveling exhibit. Mm-hmm. We worked with Government House there in Victoria. Established displays that spoke to the British heritage of the Indo-Canadian community. We created a permanent exhibit which can be found in the Rotunda to commemorate the service of Indo-Canadians in Flanders Fields. So that's in our Parliament building in Victoria. So we created a set of exhibits that are out there. And so we direct schools on their field trips to go and see these and so forth. The portable exhibit itself, we held around over 70 events, visiting schools throughout the province, delivering lectures. So we have a set of lectures around the First World War, and then also the shared history prior to the war. During that course of time, the content from the exhibit and the lectures was then republished as a book as a legacy piece for the exhibit, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that book is a part of the has been approved as a part of the British Columbia's educational resources. So ERAC has you can find details of our publication. It's called Duty, Honor, and Izzet. You can find it on ERAC. The book was actually recognized as a teen and youth book of the year by the Canadians Children Book Center. So that's a group of educators, librarians that assess teaching resources for, you know, for Canadians. So you can, you know, there's many, many references to our book. It can be found through them. It can be found through ERAC. Of course, you can, the book can be bought anywhere, chapters, you know, Amazon and so forth. Currently, we've moved on to using film and video to tell the story. We released a set of Historica type minutes establishing the shared history that they can be found on our website, which is www.imfc.org. The IMFC stands for Indus Media Foundation Canada. So you can find various resources there. We have a social media page through which we do outreach. That can be found at facebook.com, Indus Media Foundation, one word. And currently we are we're halfway through produce a short film, which is being created to, you know, very high production values. And we have a website devoted specifically to that. The film is called Promises, and you can, you know, find more information about that at www.promises.movie. And that's the direction that our work is taking, is to disseminate this history, you know, in a format that is you know, readily consumable by youth, but also the average man on the street as well.
Absolutely, which is so valuable, especially for lots of us who've, you know, graduated out of the high school system, and you know, that was more than 10 years ago. So we don't have that regular exposure, and also a place where museums can come in and continue that lifelong learning. So I'm really happy that we're having this conversation so that other folks in our community and field can hear about this, so that they could integrate that knowledge and find these resources so they can talk about this at the museum. I will link all of the websites and resources you just shared. I'll make sure that they're in the description of this podcast. So if you're listening to this now, you can take a look at the description, and that's where you'll find the links that Stephen just shared with us, so that you can learn more about this very important history. Stephen, what's one thing you really want our listeners who are listening today or in the future to take away about your work?
Well, I'll reinforce the fact that it provides a context that addresses what I feel are half-truths. I mean, I can interpret half-truths as being untruths, inconvenient truths. So we must establish a fuller picture of who did what for whom, so that we can then start to establish a sense of belonging, a sense of unity, you know, between different, you know, communities in Canada. And for the Punjabi community, there's no, you know, the World War I history, the World War II history are huge moments of shared heritage, and they're very important to the country. And I will reiterate that we do need to look at a wider context and change the lens on it. And, you know, there are facts that we must remember, for example, that 70 to 80% of the first Canadian division, the Canadian Expeditionary Force that went out to fight in Europe, they were British born. Mm-hmm. Not just citizens, but physically British born. So who is a Canadian? Who was a Canadian in our history? We've got to go back, mm-hmm, and we've got to reframe that.
Amazing. Thank you so very much. I completely agree. We really need to diversify those narratives that are happening and look at the bigger picture. Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been absolutely wonderful. I always enjoy an opportunity to talk about history, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. I just want to thank you again on behalf of the BCMA and myself for joining us and chatting. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.